Welcome to the Fear Meow podcast. Today, I have the great pleasure of interviewing Justine Hamilton. Usually, she comes in as a co-host, but today, she's coming to talk about a seminar program that she's doing. I invited her to come and talk about why she decided to do this, what it's all about, and what she hopes to accomplish through this process. So. There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. When we're afraid, we pull back from life. When we're in love, we open up to all that life has to offer with passion, excitement, and acceptance.
Coming to you from our studio in Santa Barbara, California, this is the Fear Me Out podcast. We're not your typical self-help program. Our show takes a deep dive into those psychological issues that affect us on a daily basis. We hope to shift your perspective and have you experiencing emotions differently. Now, Dr. Dana Saperstein.
Again, Justine, thank you so much for coming in. I really look forward to hearing about what you're up to.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dana.
Sure.
Where should we start?
Well, I mean, anywhere in the process of describing what you're doing, why you're doing it, what made you decide you wanted to do it, what you're hoping to accomplish.
Okay.
And, you know, all the different aspects of what you're up to, what kind of mischief you're up to in your life right now.
Okay. I'll do my best. I hate talking about myself, but I'm excited to talk about the program because it's amazing. It's funny. It kind of started with a blind psychic last summer. Okay. but even before that, I really feel like I was put on this planet to help people.
Okay.
And as I've gotten older, it's been, you know, more about helping women. But even when I was a young girl, I was 11, I think, and I wrote a letter to Ann Landers. I don't know if you remember them from the newspaper, Ann and Abby. You'd write them in for advice. And I wrote them a letter and asked how I could get a job like theirs.
As an 11-year-old?
When I was 11. Yeah.
Did you get a response?
No.
No?
No.
Oh.
I would have written an 11-year-old back. They did not.
What a brat they were.
I know. So, I mean, from a very early age, I remember grabbing the newspaper and opening up to their column and reading about it and trying to see if, like, would my advice match theirs? And so, from the very beginning, it's something that's always just been instilled in me. And when I went to college, I majored in communications and sociology, which is, you know, also sort of helping women. I actually told my dad I wanted to study to be a therapist. And he said, you know, why would you want to sit around and listen to someone's problems? I was like, I'd love to do that, actually.
You know, I can't tell you how many people have said that to me. Why do you want to do that?
So I didn't get to do that because he was paying for my school probably. And then when I was out of university, I worked in corporate media in Los Angeles for about 20 years and managed basically women, and primarily women, about 80% women in teams. I had about 40 people reporting to me, and I really discovered that I loved working with them on solving their personal goals, their professional goals, and it was the best part of my job. When I left that job to raise my own family and to sort of develop more conscious living on my own and being a little bit more present, I started coaching and consulting and have worked with women since then and get a lot of satisfaction out of it. And then last summer, and this had happened a few times, I met with this amazing psychic named Sean, who's blind, who I think his other abilities are heightened because he doesn't have the ability to see. And we were doing a reading and he said, you know, you need to be on a bigger platform. You need to empower women. I see you be, you know, public speaking or something like that. And I was like, yeah. I like my life. I like to go to Pilates at 9. I like to travel with my husband. Like, I'm really not interested. So this went on for a little bit. And, you know, finally at the end of the reading, I think he was just like, okay, I am sitting here handing this to you on a silver platter and you're not really listening to me. And I was just like, well. And
he could tell even though he was blind that you weren't listening.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I was like, well, I like my life. So that was sort of always in the back of my head. And then in January.
I'm really sorry to laugh, but it is kind of funny to think of a blind person being able to tell you're not listening.
I know.
Well, that, like, I know that's probably not very respectful, but the image I have is actually quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was just annoying him at that point. So yeah. I'm like, I do this podcast with Dana. I love doing that. He's like, I just see something else. Anyway, January, I had bought the book a long time ago. And it's called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd had it forever. I didn't do anything with it. I don't know how I even came across it. I think it was in the garage or something. And I picked it up and I started reading it. And I was like, oh, it's January. And her whole thing is you start your three journaling pages every morning, the morning pages.
Oh, okay.
So January, I don't know what day it was. January 12th, I started my morning pages. I'd get up early. I would light a candle. I'd start writing. And I'm not kidding, maybe 4 days into it, and I have it all written down, so I know how quickly it was. I just said, gosh, I wonder what a women's workshop would look like. And I just started writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing, and I could not stop. And it felt so right, so good. I couldn't, even now, what we're in, you know, mid-April, I think about it all the time. I'm just so joyful about all of it. But that's really kind of how it came to be, is I just started my morning pages and it built itself. I was just sort of the conduit through the pen of what it should look like. And I came up with a name really quickly. I reached out to a couple people that I wanted to see if they would come and do some speaking there. And the people that I reached out to, who have very busy lives, couldn't say yes fast enough. And I just kept going, okay, the universe is telling me I need to keep moving forward. I need to keep moving forward. And so that's really how it came to be. And the first one, it's called The 4-Day Forward. And the first one is May 6th through 9th in Montecito. It's from 9 to 2. And the premise behind it is really, this is something where I really want women to come and hold space for themselves, to do their work, to have a little joy. And then at night, if they want to go home and, you know, if they have to pick up their kids, if they want to go sleep in their own bed, they can go about their own day. But for 4 days from 9 to 2, they're really going to focus on their own healing, their own journey, their own time, their own presence. So each day is a bit of a different theme. The underlying theme is really, let's get grounded, let's get present. Because if you're not present, if you're not grounded, if you're not able to sort of self-reflect, then nothing is going to change. So we do practices around getting grounded, some meditation, some journaling. We have a lot of really intimate conversations. And the first day is really starting with that and letting people really understand what meditation and presence is. The second day is a little more in-depth day. I think it's going to be kind of the hardest day, because that is really around healing and trauma and being able to look at our own trauma, and that we all have some and we're not defined by it. And this is when you come in, and you're going to come in and do a nice talk around that, which will be amazing. So it's really just letting people be vulnerable around their own trauma. And, you know, trauma doesn't have to mean that you were abused or you were, you know, had something traumatic happen to you. We all have these little traumas, big or little, that stay with us and stay in ourselves, stay in our energy. And unless we can put sort of a voice to them, they just manifest and they continue to grow. And, you know, then it's 5, 10 years, whatever years down the road, and now we've got problems with mental health and addiction and sadness and loneliness. And, you know, it's not the way to go. And we don't have to go that way. So it's really kind of step one of just sort of acknowledging these and moving forward within them. And then the third day is really about goal setting. And it's a little bit more of a pragmatic day where, okay, what's holding us back? What do we want to do next? How do we get there? And it's, it's kind of brass tactics a little bit, but also understanding what you think is holding you back may not be the real thing that is holding you back. And that's what I've discovered a lot in my conversations with my coaching clients. And so we really kind of get to the root of what is holding you back. And then in the afternoon, it's a creative afternoon. Like, we're all creative. We're all artists in some way, whether that's, improving the soup that you're making or you're painting a photo. But the number one thing that women lose when they take care of families and their children and their household and possibly work on top of it is their creativity. And that's really like just, the beauty of why we're here is creating and being able to do something in that realm. So it's kind of getting back to that and feeling good about it and knowing that just because you can't, write a song or sing a song or whatever, you're still an artist. And let's honor that. I had to learn that the hard way too, because I was like, I work. But this whole workshop is really a creative endeavor that I've made. And so we all have it in us. And then the last day is we have an amazing Carla Welch, who is just an amazing force. She's Hollywood's top stylist. She started a period brand underwear company. She is a force to be reckoned with. She is all about empowerment, and she's coming in and going to do a talk about, we all have our own personal style, and we don't, whatever that looks like is very personal. And she's going to talk about that. And then we're just going to have a big effing party because women need more joy. So that's sort of how the week goes. And I want it to be a very safe, very intimate, very connected environment. And that's what I'm creating.
That's amazing.
Aww.
That's a lot to accomplish in a short number of days.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think a couple of women are like, oh gosh, I don't have 4 days. First of all, we can all figure out 4 days if we want to. And I feel like it takes that long to really settle into something like, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I could do this for 1 day and you could come and get present, but okay, then what?
Yeah.
We haven't healed anything. We haven't had any joy. Mm-hmm. We haven't created anything. Like, this is sort of like just the four prongs of living a more fulfilling life. And so that's kind of why I did it that way.
And all of this came to you when you started journaling.
It really sort of the details of it came through that. But, like I said, I've been helping women my entire life. And so that isn't a stretch for me. People have been saying that I should do something like this for a long time. But I guess the details of what it really laid out and Dana, there weren't a lot of reiterations. It just came, just like how the days built. And I mean, it's not my fault. I blame the universe and I blame the blind psychic.
Well, that's kind of inspiration. It's pretty remarkable, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I can't even tell you how I've never been so sure about anything in my life, that it's the right thing to do, that it's going to help women. It's going to help women that need it. And, it's a situation where it's like, it's just about holding space for women and giving them a voice and, supporting them in a meaningful way. They're all in charge of their own power, and we're not going to take their power away from them. They are just, there's so many women out there that I have seen in my life that they're just amazing women, and they either don't recognize it. Someone has told them that they're not. They have given so much of themselves to their families, and it's not okay. I mean, I'm a little biased, but I think women are our number one commodity, and we have to support them and nurture them and keep them positive and moving. And, if they're happy, the world will be happy.
So, Justine, you've been on the podcast a bunch of times, helping me interviewing people and doing all what we do. Fear, obviously, is a big part of the podcast and how people come to terms with the fear that might hold them back. Mm-hmm. Have you been any, have you had any fear in terms of taking the chance to do this?
Oh, totally. Yes, I have. Fear in the fact, like, I put some parameters on myself in terms of how many people I wanted, how much I was going to charge, how quickly I wanted it to fill up. And so there was a lot of fear around that because I made up these numbers and threw them out to the universe of like, this is how much it's going to be. This is how many people need to sign up. And I had a realization that those are just esoteric anythings, right? So I let all of that go. I let the fear go of like, oh, what if no one signs up? What if I only get two people? What if, you know, no one can pay? I let all of that go. And I am just really living in the feeling of joy that I know will happen within me and my growth and for these women. So I had a lot of fear. And, you know, part of me is like, people might be like, oh, what's Justine doing? That's so weird. But I can't really control what they think about it. I know how right it is. I know how good it feels. And that's the feeling that I'm going with. But, you know, I would say maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago when I started putting it out there, I was like, oh gosh, you know, on Instagram, like I usually get so many likes when I put a picture of my family. I'm like, I'm not getting that. And I've had to let that go because I don't need that pressure. And I know it's right. And I really believe the universe will send the people that need to come.
Okay. So what you're describing from my biased point of view is that you're really deeply connected to your intuition in this arena.
I definitely am. Yeah.
Because that kind of surety that you have to me seems like it only come from inside of you.
100%.
That you're constantly being given the message that, yeah, it's normal to be afraid. You've never done anything like this before. Why wouldn't you be afraid?
Right.
But there's a huge but there, which is you keep saying, I've never been so sure about anything in my life.
Yeah.
Where else can that come from but your intuition?
Yeah. And it's so funny because you can tell in your cells that your intuition feels differently than just a positive thought. You know what I mean? Like
So how would you describe that difference though, if you're willing to share? Because this is really important, not just for the purposes of what you're doing, but for everybody and how they live their life. How can you tell the difference? What does it feel like?
It feels deep. It's not a fleeting moment.
Okay.
I don't care if people naysay it.
Okay.
It feels so intense, so deep, so right. And the fact that I literally think about it all the time.
So it's just on your mind.
It's on my mind all the time. And you know, when it's been hours of work, like, you know, just, you know, doing the research and the readings and sort of formulating what it's going to look like and then sort of promoting it and getting the speakers and, you know, even figuring out the food. And it's taken hours and hours and hours of my time. It doesn't feel like work.
No?
No. It is the only, other than Pilates, maybe, it's the only thing I'd rather be doing. it feels really good. And I'll just, you know, I'll do a meditation around something and I will get a great idea that'll just like pop in my head. And
can you give me an example of like one of those?
Well, one was the name of it.
Okay.
And, you know, a couple have been like, oh, I need to reach out to that person about it. And I have. And then they're like, oh gosh, you know, I went to this event the other night just quickly. And when I talk to women about it, I was there and two women were like, oh my gosh, you know, I've been seeing your posts. That's amazing. And then when I talk to women about it, they get it. And they're like, okay, I want to sign up. So it's just, I just had a feeling that I should go to this event, even though it wasn't something I was really planning on doing. And, you know, two people there are now coming to the workshop.
They were at the event?
Mm-hmm.
So you were able to talk to them about
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And every time I talk to someone, you know, I had a beach walk with a person and they're like, oh, that's so cool. You're doing that. Gosh, you know, I wish I could come, but I can't because that's a bad week. My daughter's on spring break and I need to spend time with her. And you know, I don't know, we just start talking about it. And then by the end of the conversation, they're like, well, she may, I let me see, because she may not want to be in town anyway. So it's just, I think, you know, because I believe in it so strongly and I know how powerful it's going to be, I think that people can just feel that energy coming from me. So, you know, these things don't, Instagram is to build a community and it's to post some pretty pictures, but Instagram is not, you can't get any story off of Instagram. You know, you can't get a feeling of how I feel about this through Instagram. So it's the more I can talk to people about it, the greater success it will be. I also feel like the universe will tell people if they should come and do it. And I believe that. So I, you know, if someone can come, fantastic. If they can't, there is no pressure.
So this has in some ways renewed your faith on in a general way. At least that's what it sounds like.
Renewed my faith in sort of the universe.
Well, and that if you're willing to listen, the things unfold in a way that
yes.
are kind of surprising, because maybe a year ago,
yeah.
somebody said, hey, you know, would you ever do something like this?
Yes.
The response probably would have been not so much.
Right.
But now all of a sudden you have this incredible steam and you're rolling along.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to stop you. And that's a big change in your attitude and your willingness to take a chance and put yourself out
right.
there. Because you can't do this if you're not going to put yourself out there big
right.
time, big time.
Right, right.
Because, you know, you're coming out of the, I joke around, I say, I came out of the therapy closet and started to tell, when I started the podcast, telling everybody about my own personal life. Mm-hmm. Because as a therapist, you're not supposed to talk about yourself in any way, shape, or form. You're
right.
supposed to be like invisible.
Right.
And I thought, well, how is that going to help if people
right.
don't understand that it's not just intellectual, that I understand what people are going
yes,
through.
Been
and
through
you're
it.
Talking about the same thing,
yeah.
that you understand women's struggles. You understand what it feels like to not have the kind of confidence in yourself that you would like to, and maybe not have the courage to, you know, do the things that you feel inspired to do.
Yeah.
And what better person to do all of this than somebody who's been able to overcome that,
yeah.
those feelings and that fear.
Yeah. And that will be a lot of what the workshop is about, is really sharing and conversations. You know, I'm going to be very vulnerable with my story and,
uh-huh.
you know, what I've gone through in life. And I'm, you know, I've been up against a lot of challenges, and there's nothing that anyone can do or say that can be surprising or worse or judged on. But it's, you know, it's about really opening up and opening up our heart. If we aren't doing that, what are we doing?
Has anybody tried to discourage you? Like overtly?
Probably not to my face.
Oh.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe behind your back.
Maybe behind my back. They're like, what is she doing now? I really don't know.
The community that you live in, is it one where people are quick to judge?
People that are judgy, yes, are quick to judge, yes.
Okay. Well, it's probably the same everywhere, but
yeah,
maybe not. I don't know, because, you know, we live in such a rarefied environment in Santa Barbara, and you live in an even more rarefied environment in Montecito.
Yeah.
Right? There's a whole nother section of people that have recently come to town here that it just changes the demographic hugely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I just wonder if people,
well,
would people give you a bucket of fear? Because
well,
that's what they'll do.
I think if anyone is naysaying this workshop, they probably need it, but they're not.
But
they're not.
But they
ready.
Don't know that.
Well, no, they're not. They're not ready to look at that. Like, how could you ever look at something that is helpful to people and diss on it? You know, unless you don't want to look at your own stuff yet,
or jealousy,
perhaps. But I don't know. I always feel like if someone's gonna talk crap about it, it's just because they're scared of their own
uh-huh.
stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so if they are talking crap, that, you know, that makes me feel sad. And I was like, you know, maybe they should call me and I'll
maybe you could help them get over it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. And it's, again, just, I've learned a lot about myself to just putting this together. And so it's not just to help women, it's also helping me.
So do you mind talking about that?
Well, kind of what we talked about, where it's like, I am open to looking for signs, opening to listening to the universe, okay, opening to accepting what the universe is going to put in my lap. Meaning, okay, I'm not struggling to be like, oh God, I got to get this many people. And, you know, and I'm just open to however this plays out is the way it's supposed to play out. I know the women that come, it's going to be really beneficial. It's my first one. No one's talking about it because there's never been one. And so I expect it to have a slower start. And I just am trusting that the women that are in that room are going to reap amazing rewards. And that's all I care about.
Okay. And how about your family?
They are super supportive.
Are they?
They're really supportive. Yeah.
So your kids don't tease you about,
you know. No, you know, it's so funny. I posted something today about, we have this wonderful woman, Mitsuko, who's coming in every day. She's going to do a gong sound bath.
Oh.
Like a 20 minute at the end of each session to just sort of get us grounded and, you know, change the brain waves. And Dash, my son, who, you know, like wrote on there, is like, sign up, exclamation mark. So it was really sweet. And no, they're very supportive. They're really supportive. They do have to leave the house from 9 to 2 every day, and they have to keep their rooms clean.
Well, I don't know if they'll be supportive in that endeavor.
They won't. I'm just going to shut the bedroom door, and it's after school starts.
I only ask because my kids are so good at making fun of me. They're like world champions at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you guys tease.
Oh,
like,
are you kidding?
Okay.
They tease me about plenty.
I figured.
Yeah. They probably don't know enough about this yet to tease me about it. When they come to the house and there's a big gong sitting in the living room, then they
yeah.
Tease me. Yeah. No, it's been funny. Great.
Good.
It's been really good.
And what about your daughter? Is she interested, or is she still too young?
She is not interested yet.
Remind me how old.
She is 16 and a half.
Okay.
She is not at a place in her life where she is really paying attention to sort of women empowerment, I guess. You know, she's playing with her friends and going to the beach and, you know, playing volleyball.
Doing all the normal teenage stuff.
Yeah, has a boyfriend. Like, that's, you know, the priority at the moment. So she's, I wouldn't say she's really like, oh God, Mom, that's great. She's kind of like, okay, I'm going to tell Peyton's mom to sign up.
Yeah.
She might be like that. I mean, I would say Dash, who is almost 18, who has always been a really spiritual child. He's really interested, and he's really like, God, this is cool that you're doing this. And, you know, it's so funny, like, he's going through some stuff. And so we'll take these walks and talk about things, and I'll say to him, I'm like, Dash, this is what I'm going to be talking about at the 4-day forward. And the stuff that applies to him and stuff that he's going through in his life right now are a lot of the things that, you know, we'll be talking about. Mm. You know, for example, that we're in charge of our brain, not the other way around, where, you know, people have thoughts about this or that or whatever, but it's like, you can change that pattern. And we get in the way of that. And we think that because we've just had these, you know, repetitive sort of thoughts or ideas, that that's really the way it is, and it's not. And once we can get into the habit of switching that around and reinforcing this new idea or this new behavior, that becomes the reality. And so, you know, I was talking to him about that the other day, and I'm like, I'm going to be talking about this next month.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's been great for me, my family, I think the women that attend, and that's what we need to do. It's just, you know, it's a repercussion. Let's just get it out there.
So you describe being inspired by the universe. What does that mean to you? What is your definition of the universe, if you don't mind my asking you specifically?
I don't know if I have an exact definition. It's not Jesus, God, Mary.
Okay. It's not the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
No, even though that's how I was raised. Sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't joke.
It's not the triune God. It's energy. It's looking for the signs, being open to them, paying attention, being quiet enough. And it's, you know, I think, and it's about giving back. I think that giving back is an important thing to do. And the more that we can give back, the more we get. And so I think for me, just listening to the universe is just all encompassing. And it's the stuff where you just feel good, you know, good, you know, it's this way because that is how it's supposed to be. And that we're all connected. We're all energy. We're all flowing. And, you know, if you're doing a good thing, then the universe is going to pay you back for that.
Are you deliberately sort of shying away from using the term God because it carries such a religious connotation?
It's hard. Yeah, I am. Just because when I think of God, I think of this big old man, right?
Yeah.
And that it doesn't seem right to me because I don't feel like this big old man is guiding me.
No, I wouldn't imagine it would be a big old man.
Not even a little old man.
not even a man.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I do shy away from using the word God because it doesn't, it feels like the universe. Now, is that God? Maybe. What's the difference between the universe and God? I don't know. But for me, universe feels bigger and more all-encompassing, and that it's, we're all connected through the universe, not some big old man in a robe.
I asked you the question because I was brought up with in the Jewish tradition in a way. So God doesn't carry that shaming weight.
Yeah.
Right? You're not spending your life as a Jew trying to make up for your sins and and prove your value so that you can go to some magic place at the end of your life where, everything's perfect and wonderful, that you're actually taught to celebrate your life while you're actually having it.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. And I didn't appreciate any of this stuff when I was brought up because I was forced to participate against my will.
Yes.
So I hated the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But when I look back now, I realize, it couldn't have been all bad.
Right.
And it was really the people that represented the religion that were more, for me, difficult to deal with because it was so close to after World War II and so many Holocaust survivors and so many people that came to the United States from the worst experiences of their life.
Right.
So there wasn't a whole lot of joy in being a Jew during that period of time, at least for me.
Right.
What it felt like to me was a bunch of old, really bitter, angry, for good reason.
For good reason, right.
You know, people. And so I just couldn't buy into it because to me, if there was any such thing as God, it was on a baseball field or in the ocean.
Yeah.
Somewhere where you're experiencing joy and, a sense of beauty and peace.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm assuming that part of, and maybe I shouldn't make this assumption, but I'm assuming that part of why you're doing this is to teach people to trust what they know and to be more focused internally, to be, connected to themselves on a deeper level rather than most of us being externally focused in the way we live our lives.
Exactly. Yeah. It really is about listening to your intuition. Uh-huh. And, as I mentioned, it's, the first step is getting present and getting grounded. And once we can do that, then we do start listening to our intuition. Then we do start asking the universe for things. We do ask for help. We have angels around us that can help us and we're willing to reach out. And, but we have to get, I believe we have to get quiet and internal before any of that can happen.
So Justine, a lot of people say to me that they can't tell the difference between their intuition and their fear because it can be really confusing. Mm-hmm. Like people have said to me, well, I had this feeling I shouldn't get on the plane that, I was scheduled to be on.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell whether it's just because I'm afraid to fly or whether I was being given fair warning that something could happen.
Yeah.
And people are really confused about how you tell the difference between the universe speaking to you and your fear kind of hijacking whatever it is that's happening.
Well, here's what I'll tell you, because I was one of those people that asked you that. months ago, saying, okay. You know, and a lot of mine, what I asked you about, I remember was, you know, a lot was around my children. And as a mother, you're, you know, I think you're more fearful about something happening to your kids than anything else in
of course.
Out there. And so I was like, well, God, am I just, you know, am I just fearful because something could happen to them? Or is that my intuition? And I have to tell you that I still don't know.
No?
But the more in touch I've become within my intuition and being quiet and really feeling the feeling, not the logical feeling, but feeling how it feels in your body.
Okay.
That is what has shown me the difference. I still have situations where I, as a mother, I'm like maybe fearful about something with a child, but I have to slow myself down and feel how it feels. And when I can do that, that helps me a little bit. But there's still times where I'm like, oh God, you know, is that my intuition or am I just being fearful? So I don't have it down to an exact science.
But do you ask that question formally?
Whether it's my intuition. Yeah. I mean, and yeah, I don't like say it real loud, but yes, I do.
Well, I mean, the reason I ask you that is because I don't know of any other way for people to be able to learn the difference if they don't ask for clarity. Right. Because yeah. Part of trusting is asking and then feeling like you're being well met by being given an answer.
Well, that's the whole thing. We think that if we're being... if we have a feeling that we can't ask because we're like, we don't want to break that energy, you know, but like, no, we can ask. We can ask for more help. We can ask for guidance. We can say, okay, you gave me this feeling, but what does that mean? And you're not breaking the spirit's energy. You're just, you can keep asking.
So in your mind, it's okay to ask for as much clarity as you need in order to develop that trust.
And I've learned that because in the past, when I would be doing a, you know, sort of a meditation and I would get a thought or a feeling about something. And then I was like, oh God, I can't ask the universe another question because I'll break the energy and da, da, da. But I've learned like, no, you told me this, but now what does that mean? And so I've asked a little bit further, but I have to say like, this is only getting better through practice for me and trusting myself. And it's a practice. It takes time to trust your intuition. And I still don't know 100, you know, I don't know 100%. Of course I don't. But I have learned that the universe is talking to me all the time. And if I am listening, I'll understand, or I'll try to understand. And then I have to decipher what that means.
So is part of what you want to teach the women that come to see you that that they're smarter than they realize, or at least more capable than they've given themselves credit?
Not only just on sort of external, right? Like, you know, I don't know, just women that don't think they're worthy or think they're good enough or, you know, think that something bad has happened to them and it was their fault, or they got themselves in a situation or relationship. But it's like, it goes so much deeper than that. Like, they are so special. They have these gifts, and it's just really learning how to trust themselves and believe in themselves and listen to themselves. That's where the power is.
That's no small task.
It's no small task.
So what I'm assuming is that this is the beginning of healing for a lot of these people, not the end of it.
And you know, the women that have signed up so far are women that are really looking for something. They're, you know, I've made it clear in my messaging that this is, we're coming here to do some work, and this isn't about social hour. We're not, you know, doing a meditation and drinking wine at 4 o'clock and socializing with our friends. Like, this is, you're coming in and it's going to be super supportive and nurturing and loving and connected. But I'm going to ask some hard questions. We're going to have some tough conversations, but you are going to be, you are going to feel my arms around the entire group and vice versa. So the women that are drawn to this are the women that are like, okay, I want to move forward. It's not like, oh, I'm going to sign up and then I got to leave at one because I got to like go to the bonds. You know, it's like, no, we're coming in to really do some stuff. And that's what I can help with. I'm not good at like the chit chat around, you know, with a glass of wine in my hand.
So listening to the universe is a sacred act. Mm-hmm. Fair to say?
Yes.
So how do you help people recognize how important it is to make that? Maybe I'm presupposing. My idea is that in order to have the deepest relationship with, I call it God, but you can call it universe, whatever, is by surrendering. And recognizing that life is not complete without that kind of a connection.
Yeah.
But that is often interpreted as a sign of weakness, that you can't do it your own.
Right.
Because it goes against the American notion of independence.
Yeah.
So, and women are especially ashamed. Men are too, but women are ashamed of being dependent.
Right.
You know, they have that stupid codependency. I mean, I know that that exists, but... most of the time, it's a term used to shame somebody into submission, mm-hmm. to tell them they're codependent. Mm-hmm. When in reality, the most independent people I know are the ones that accept their dependency as a part of life.
Yeah.
Because they're not always fighting it.
Yeah.
So part of what you are, what I'm assuming that you're doing, is helping people understand that it's okay to surrender to the universe.
Yeah. First, surrender to themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of the same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that it's hard to live a full, complete life when you're disconnected from one of the most vital parts of your existence.
Right.
Which is your connection to the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's there, obviously, to help you and to serve you.
Yeah.
It's not there to shame you. It's not there to make you feel like a bad person that you have to, you know, earn points to get, I don't know what.
Right.
I remember.
Free pizza.
I remember. In an old Woody Allen movie, and I know, you know, Woody Allen's lost favor, but he was pretty funny back in the day. And I'll never forget this image of somebody in a confession booth,
mm-hmm.
confessing to a priest about the sins that he was, you know, guilty of. And then at the end of it, pushed the button. And do you remember what a Cupid doll was?
Yes.
A Cupid doll fell into... into the little container, and that's what you got as a prize from the confessional booth. It was a little Cupid doll if you were able to
confess
the right way. And I just thought that was so hysterical because it was just so stupid.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So Woody Allen, can see that,
so perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, you know, I think it's a process. I think that all of our growth is a process, and it never ends. And I think the more we can sort of spend time and see it and become aware around it, the more we'll grow. But I don't think, you know, I think that everyone is going to meet this where they are comfortable. And I know it will spark thoughts and feelings and, then it's up to them how far they take that or how that feels. And, you know, every little bit helps. And, you know, we're just works in progress. And so I don't think people are going to leave on the fourth day, you know, in a white robe with like a halo around their head or anything.
Maybe they will. Who knows? Is there a dress code?
But
wear your robe.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a halo.
Yes. You're going to get a banner. So I just think every little bit helps, and this is how I want to support women.
Is it an awkward question for me to ask you what you are generally speaking going to charge people to come to this event?
No, so this is also kind of why I just threw this esoteric number on there. My favorite number is 12.
Okay.
My birthday is March 12th. My husband's birthday is February 12th. And so I'm charging $1,200 for the four days.
For the 4 days. Okay.
The 4 days, yep. And, you know, I have also told women, it's like, listen, if this speaks to you and you can't afford that, or you can pay later or you want to do it a different way, I am totally open to that.
Okay.
So if it is something that a woman is really drawn to this, we'll figure it out. I'm not in this because I am trying to retire. I am charging, number one, because that's my ego. And number two, my time is worth something and I put a lot of hours into it. But I am doing this to give back. And if the universe is like, you know what? They can't pay $1,200. And okay, then they don't pay $1,200. They'll pay what they can. And I'm fine with that.
Okay. But that's the general range that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's $1,200. And you know, it's what? It's 24 hours of some really great work and speakers and, you know, time and food and coaching. And so I feel like it's a good number, but I'm totally open also. Because again, it's to help people, not to make people freak out.
And will each person have some alone time with you in this process?
If they want it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily structured into it where everybody gets an hour or two or whatever with you privately.
No, but if they want it, they will. And also it's going to be conversation. So it's going to be, you know, confidential in a group, having a conversation and listening to each other. I don't know all the answers. And it's more just facilitating a conversation and asking questions, which, as you know, is my favorite thing to do.
I do know that.
Asking questions to really help us heal. And if someone, you know, I'll almost put that in as part of it. But I feel like during the week, if someone's like, God, can, you know, we talk for an hour, I've got time after 2 o'clock. So if someone needs that, absolutely. Again, it's like I am doing this to help. I'm not doing it because, you know, I don't have time other than.
Well, I ask you that question because sometimes people in a group have so much shame that they don't have the courage to bring up something that they would bring up privately if they had the opportunity. And in that conversation, you might be able to actually help them feel courageous enough, you know, to bring it to the group.
Yeah.
So that's what I was wondering. I was just kind of curious about
it. No, I think that's a great idea. And I think maybe on the very first day, I should say that, that if someone does want to have just a private conversation, that I'm open and we can do that.
I don't think I knew you during this incarnation of my professional life, but for the first 15 years of my practice, I did group therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 3 men and 3 women in the group, and then me. And we would actually all do hypnosis together.
Such
a trip.
I love that.
Everybody would go into a trance, and then one person ahead of time would decide that they wanted to be the focus.
Mm.
So everybody would turn their attention toward this person while they were in a trance.
All 5 of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including the person that was. And the healing was so intense when, you know, somebody was willing to sort of address being molested as an example. But having 5 other people that really cared about them be with them.
Wow.
When they were facing the feelings and the intensity of the fear and the shame and all of that. And to feel the support of other people when you're in the depth of the worst moments of your life. It was so healing. It was such an amazing experience.
Well, maybe we'll do this for the next one.
Yeah.
That's so
and,
cool.
And I only mention it because, I really miss doing group therapy because I still run into people that were in the group all these years later.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me how much it changed their lives.
Wow.
Because I only invited people into the group that I knew personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew their psychology really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there would be some people that were of a different, of the opposite, you know, a man or a woman, but the same person in a different body.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing to see people realize that for a woman that a man could be sort of constructed just like they were and vice versa. So remarkable.
So each session, one person would be hypnotized and the other 5.
No,
everyone would be hypnotized in the session. And those other 5 people
would just focus on that person
while they were also hypnotized.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so on an energetic level, they were able to meet that person in their trauma, in the depths of their trauma, and hold them energetically while they were releasing the shame and the fear and the...
How do they keep from themselves going into their own trauma?
Because if they made a decision that it was...
About someone else.
Sometimes one person's problem was so similar and so provocative in the similarity that, it happened regularly that somebody else would be bawling their eyes out because, you know, they were feeling the same, the same feelings.
Yeah.
And being able to kind of share those with someone for the first time in their lives.
Wow.
Because most people keep their trauma private.
Yep.
And even if they talk about it, they're speaking about it in verbal, intellectual terms.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than allowing themselves to go into the space they're in when they were being traumatized, which is that hypnotic trance, and then connecting with other humans who were, you know, had the same intention, which was to heal their trauma.
I mean, I can imagine that first meeting, I'd be a little scared to walk through that door.
Really?
Yes.
You know, I will tell you that most people, when they came into the group, stayed for years.
Wow.
Because they felt so at home with their brothers and sisters that they'd never met before. They were obviously not biologically related.
Right.
But it was such a sweet thing for people to be able to care for each other.
Yeah. I can't imagine a stronger connection outside of your family. Like,
it was
like, can we move in together?
It was amazing. Yeah. It was so sweet. I loved it. And I really, really do miss it. I'm not sure why I never started again. And, you know, when the world came to an end in 2008, I guess it was, financially, the group kind of fell apart because, you know, everything fell apart.
Right.
And I just never started it up again. I'm not even sure why.
Wow.
Because I miss it.
Do you think they are all sort of connected? Do they still talk and see each other? Or?
Some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I run into somebody that was in the group, they're so excited to tell me how meaningful it was.
I'd probably start crying if it was me.
Well, I'm assuming that you will create the same. I mean, it can't be the same because you and I are different, but the same feeling of connection that is so vital. And most people don't have that connection in their life at all to somebody on that deep of an emotional level.
Yeah.
So that's why I got so excited when you told me you were going to do this, because I just started thinking back. You know, there's nothing that is really more healing than to feel like you're not alone in the depth of your fear and despair and shame.
Yeah.
Even though it's really hard to go there, and it can be really embarrassing, you know, to believe that you deserved it or you caused it or whatever. But the support was remarkable.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm asking you to consider is that you're kind of setting up the same thing in just your way, and that it's like magic in a way. Super excited for you.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, I feel really good about it and I can't wait.
So is there anything that I have failed to ask you about? We still have 5 minutes or so left that is of importance in this process and in this thing that you're doing?
Well, I know the one thing I was thinking of, because, you know, we always talk about childhood trauma and like, you know, how so much starts there. And I was like, God, where did this come from? This whole need to help and, you know, at such a young age. And I was like, what was I just like born to be Ann Landers? Like what happened? And I feel like it really came from, you know, me as a child really having to depend on myself and take care of others. And so I think even though that was a little rough as a kid, I think that it's, you know, the silver lining, I guess, is that it's innate in me and it's how I was, you know, programmed and what I had to do. And so it helped sort of instill, I think, my empathy and my skills of really being able to understand pretty quickly what the issue is. And kind of peeling back the layers and getting to it. And again, I think why I can do this is I am, and it's sometimes to my detriment, I am so empathetic. Like it kills me to know that there are people out there that are hurting, that are just amazing people that shouldn't be. And so I think it all kind of started from my childhood. So once again, everything in life goes back to your childhood.
Well, but the other part of it, I think that's important to acknowledge, is that when you're a sensitive person by nature, you are born to be of service.
Yeah.
Because that's the template that goes along with sensitivity, is right. to feel your feelings more strongly than the average person, to see things differently. And now we even have evidence that the way you see things is purely biologically driven by the way that your brain is constructed.
Yeah.
Because really sensitive people have more visual cells in their frontal cortex to absorb what they see. There are so many more of those cells in a sensitive person's brain than the average person.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're called mirror cells. And what they do is mirror what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that sets you up to be capable of really understanding human nature on a much deeper level. It comes with a price, obviously, which is usually a fair bit of sadness about the state of the world,
mm-hmm.
right? And you have to learn how not to absorb all of the loneliness and pain that, you know, surrounds us every day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't come for free.
Right.
But it does make life way more interesting and much, much richer. So, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Because my assumption will be at the end of this, you'll probably be a little bit tired, but you probably will have such a giant smile on your face because you've had so much fun.
I feel like it's going to be, take a lot of energy, but it's good energy, and I think I'll be exhausted but happy for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. So if anyone wants to come, it's they can find me on Instagram, Justine Hamilton SB, or my website, justinehamilton.com. It's May 6th to the 9th from 9 to 2 in Montecito. Even if anyone's curious, has any questions, please reach out. I obviously love to talk about it. And if anyone feels like just a little bit of like, gosh, should I go? Please reach out, and I'm happy to talk. And if it makes sense for you, great. If it doesn't, that's okay too.
Very cool. Well, thank you for spending an hour talking about all this cool stuff you're doing.
Thank you.
It's very inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
You know, when I hear about people creating these kinds of situations for others to heal, it's like, you go, girl.
Yeah, we have to.
Uh-huh.
It's a little messed up out there. Like, we got to do what we can, especially for the women.
You got to balance the lunatics in the world.
Who are you talking about?
No, I'm not going to name names. I've already named it enough times. Anyway, thank you, Justine.
Yeah, thank you, Dana.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Remember, if you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation to the Fear Me Out podcast, please go to www.jccs.org and earmark your donation to this podcast. If you need more information about making a donation, you can contact Dr. Saperstein directly at 805-452-0006. Thank you.